Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 148. In this show, we're going to be talking about nonprofits and associations and membership management. What are the choices out there? It's really confusing, folks. We're going to try and give some common sense info. If you've been asked to implement a management system for your nonprofit, for your association, or you're somebody in tech, we hopefully be able to give you some great advice on this subject. I've got my co-host with me, Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, Jonathan, my name is Kurt von Annen. I am the owner of an agency called Manana Nomas, and we work directly with the great team over at WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. Like I say, it should be a great show, but before we go into the meat and potatoes, we've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta. Simply better hosting.
We're coming back. We've also got our last advert for our monthly advertiser, and Kirk will go ahead and tell you something about them.
Hey, thanks, Jonathan. This episode is sponsored by Mysterio LMS, and here's why we've been excited about working with them for the last month. Their free version is not a trial. It's not limited. You get unlimited courses, unlimited lessons, unlimited students, and that's forever, and there's no credit card needed. So if you think about it, you can build your entire course business without paying a cent. Now, the drag and drop editor is there. There's a quiz creator there. Student progress tracking, that's all there. Built-in payment processing with PayPal and Stripe, that's all in the free version. Now, if you decide that you want to do like content drip or certificates or some other advanced features, you can always upgrade to the pro version. But honestly, I think most course creators can get started and launch with the free version. To check out Mysterio LMS, go to Mysterio.com. That is Mysterio.com.
That's fantastic. So let's go straight into Kurt. So where do you want us to start? How would you start the conversation? What's your thoughts on it?
Well, today we were kind of talking about nonprofit membership donations, right? And strategies that would work.
And using a membership, a CRM, and software choices. And it also, this applies to associations and other organizations, doesn't it?
Yeah. So when I'm meeting with these types of clients right off the bat, I mean, the first open-ended questions kind of have to be like, how big is your current audience? Like, how big is your current network? How large of a group? And then what channels are you currently using to curate this data? A lot of times what I run into, Jonathan, and maybe you have too, is you'll find out there's three or four different people that have passed the baton over different positions in the board. And they've got like, I'm not even going to call them databases. It's like, this is what's in my Microsoft Outlook. This is what's in my Gmail account. This is what's in my, and they're emailing people 25 members at a time. And then you just have to have kind of a brass tacks strategy meeting to go, how big is this list if we combine all this stuff? And then what is your appetite for managing it and having a real platform to graduate to up-level that performance, to up-level that presentation?
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think the other thing is, folks, there is no perfect CRM out there.
No.
It really depends on the organization, the size, the resources, what they want to do. If you know, we have an emphasis at WP Tonic on WordPress because a lot of organizations use WordPress and they want their CRM to work with WordPress now, or you know, some of these systems provide their own website platform. In my experience, the ones that do aren't that fantastic, but I'm always very. There is a lot of platforms. There's a lot of donation systems, but a donation system, and we're going to be discussing some of the WordPress ones, they tend to be donation with some CRM functionality included. There are specialized CRMs aimed at non-profits, associations. They have their strengths, but they also have their weaknesses, because it really depends on how good their APIs are. How, you know, one, I did some research on all the ones we're going to be talking about, and one of them supposedly has a plugin that works with WordPress, but it hasn't been updated for a number of years, and you find that a lot. And people think you can just custom design a plugin, which you have that ability with WordPress. But if the third party, the SaaS CRM, doesn't have an open or a very good API, or you can't use something like WP Fusion, you're scuttled. You're not a magician. So these are some of the things you've got to know about. How would you respond to what I've just said?
Well, I have to agree with you. And the part that I wanted to kind of really communicate to the listeners and viewers here today, especially if like the title of it brought them, like they're not used to seeing us, is like, don't beat yourself up if you find yourself in this position where you might have something on Constant Contact, something else on, what is that, ActBlue or something. And then they've got, you know, MailChimp and Hubs, all these different, you might have this fragmented partial list on all these places and have no idea where to start. And that's where having a professional like me or Jonathan can really help you bring that together. And then what Jonathan's describing is true. When I'm communicating with a new client, especially a nonprofit, I start to say to myself, all right, how can I consolidate their efforts into the simplest of tools? How can I reduce the friction for this user? So a lot of times it is putting the CRM directly into the WordPress-based website and giving them access to everything in one platform instead of having them split things up or try to figure out. You know, Jonathan mentioned how good the API is. Well, if you've got all these disconnected tools that you're trying to stitch together on some kind of spider web, that can get integrated and confusing pretty quickly for a lot of lay people.
Yeah, the financial side, this, you know, organizations want to integrate it in one platform, and it's totally understandable, yeah. But that has consequences because you're really putting all your eggs in one hat. Key things you need to know about membership management. I think we were discussing beforehand that you've also noticed, because Kurt also works with Lifter LMS, that a lot of nonprofits and associations have been doing inquiries about community. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed this. Because it's a great way of increasing what is seen as the value. It enables the nonprofit to engage online with some of its key sponsors and its key supporters. And with association, it just is seen as a way of offering more value, more engagement to the association membership. So what's your views on this, and what have you noticed, Kurt?
The community aspect does come up a lot, Jonathan, but this is where we start to talk about, again, more strategies, right? So when we're consulting, we're asking questions, how big is your audience, that's all those things, and then community comes up. But that's when like we have things kind of like what's in your notes, where we're like, we have to define what a membership tier is, or come up with these strategies that we say not everybody gets access to the community. Maybe you get access to this part or this group within the community, or you get access to a profile page within the community. It's hard because on one hand, you're running the community and you want to be everything to everybody all the time. You want to reduce the friction and get as many people in communicating and interacting with you as possible because you feel like that's going to drive your revenue, drive your givership. But in reality, we need to kind of strategize things and section things out better and come at things with a more stepping stone approach. And so that's kind of the communication I'll have with a lot of folks is like, community is a great idea, but do you have the people? Do you have the energy? Will enough people interact with it? And then if you have a lot of people to interact with it, how are you going to manage and moderate that interaction?
So in our notes, I've got the key things you need to know about membership management. Define your clear membership tiers, offer exclusive membership benefits, make sign up and renewal seamless, track and use member data wisely, celebrate milestones and achievements. They're all about, because you're trying to build as a non-profit and to some extent association, membership, recurring subscription, recurring donation, being part of a community as either a volunteer or somebody financially, or there's a lot of overlap. So what's your own response to this initial list?
The list is pretty good. The one that I think catches a lot of people out, and it's almost like out of the e-learning space, is that celebrate the milestones and achievements. I'm in the Great Cycle Challenge every year. I just did my 8th year. And every year I say, that's it, I'm not going to do it anymore. And then every year they send out an email with, hey, it's your 7th year. It's your 8th year. Here's your free t-shirt. Here's your whatever. And next thing you know, you're in again. So I already know that whether I say I'm going to do it or not, I'm going to do the 9th year next year. I think when you set these things up, and again, when you come at it with strategy and you say, what are the membership tiers? What do people get access to for different levels of membership? What are the benefits? How do we make sign up and renewal easy, seamless, reduce friction, right? And then the milestones and achievements. If you actually incorporate that into an actual plan and you execute that plan, Jonathan, your online association, your online nonprofit is going to have a much higher degree of success.
And that's one. And doing these things in a sustainable, methodical way is why you need a CRM when you get to a certain size.
Yeah.
But it depends. There's a lot of CRM solutions out there, some specifically designed for nonprofits and associations. Others are SaaS-based broad solutions. And then WordPress has some offerings, which we're going to be discussing in the second half. So type a nonprofit membership, community memberships, we touched on that. Subscription-based membership, volunteer membership, donor-based membership, corporate and institutional membership. My experience, a lot of medium nonprofits to larger ones, only the most smallest basics, they have to cater for all these type, or they should do. That's another reason to have a CRM that can also integrate with the financial software that the organization's using. What's your thoughts about this?
Well, if you're using your CRM effectively and you're able to segment your list appropriately, whether it's through segments or tags, you're going to have a much better chance at this. So if I'm in a nonprofit and I'm catering to corporate and institutional memberships, but I've also got, you know, individual smaller memberships or a volunteer team, I'm going to have a segment or a list that's for volunteers. I'm going to have a segment that's for independent donors, and I'm going to have a segment that is for corporate givers that typically give it a higher value. And so if I use those segments and I use those tags correctly in the CRM, and I can customize the messaging that goes to those separate segmented audiences, again, because you don't want to send, you don't want to send a message out that celebrates some great independent, you know, donation at $1,500 to a corporate base that's playing at $10,000, $20,000 ranges because it confuses the messaging. So you don't want to celebrate a small giving to a larger audience. Concurrently, you don't want to send out a message to, you know, individual individual members, where you're celebrating these corporate people donating $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, because then they get the feeling that their contribution isn't good enough. And so a CRM is really intuitive because you're able to customize the messaging based on the level.
Well, it depends on the CRM. But I'm going to list the last one, benefits of membership software or CRM. This is the other factor, folks. These terms are very interchangeable. And this causes a load. And there's different types of CRM. There's those that were very sales orientated in their history. And there's others that are more digital marketing orientated. There's different flavors of CRM. And they are not, a lot of them, the ones that not specifically focused at nonprofits association, they offer add-on that are give increased functionality to those particular two sectors, but they are dominated by their history. I hope that's making sense. Benefits of membership software, member tracking and segmentation, which you touched on, Kurt. Mm-hmm. Better member communication, you hope. Enhanced fundraising opportunities, automated application payment and renewal, centralized data for smarter decisions. So this is this, and I've worked with a few medium and one particular large that's been a customer of mine for a customer of WP Tonic for over 7 years. And they had a lot of custom software built in-house around Microsoft technology. And it was around their subscription, and they have full-time auditors and a small financial department as part of this. So, and this became a big issue because they had all this custom design software in the Microsoft, and they were looking at a CRM that could do the financial, but could also combine the digital marketing, the email elements as well, have a much more and provide reports for the management of the association. So there's this area between financial guidance and knowing what's going on and having the information about the subscriptions or the donations. There's the part around digital marketing and reducing churn, increasing membership, increasing volunteers. And then there's the actual reports, how the system can display insights and data in a way that is reasonably easy to communicate to the management team. What's your response to what I've just outlined, Kurt?
The connection to the financials is kind of where you've lost me a little bit.
Yeah.
Can you kind of describe to me what, when you, because you've said that a few times in the show, what are you kind of talking about, the separation?
Well, I'm just basing on this client. They, like I say, they had this Microsoft coded solution that was done in-house when they had a couple of Microsoft developers, and it was clunky. They had been using it for five, six, I think they're still using it. I think they've invested more money on an outside consultancy. And then the website is WordPress. And the actual courses, they're using a third-party plugin, and they really didn't look into it. And it's quite expensive, and they find it restrictive, but I could never persuade them to move to WordPress, the actual learning management system, because then they were looking at a custom for the CRM side, which is the financial side, you know, deposits, gives you financial reports. There's, like I say, there's CRMs that can handle that, and then there's other CRMs that are really purely focused at digital marketing. You know, I haven't placed it on the list that we're going to discuss in the second half, but it just come to mind is ActiveCampaign. ActiveCampaign is a fantastic SaaS digital marketing, email marketing platform, but it doesn't offer insight. It's not focused on sales reports and or providing reports on how many subscribers or how many donors. It's not built for that, is it?
No. Yeah, and so when you were describing that client situation, that's the nightmare that I was kind of talking about at the beginning of our episode today. And that's, you know, it's like these people that use Eventbrite for their events and then try to think that like the Eventbrite registrations are count as their CRM in some way. I mean, there's just this disconnection between data and what to do with data at these organizations that seems to run rampant. And it's, I think it really takes a single-minded professional to come in and really just, you know, what are all of the moving pieces, and then how do we assemble these pieces into the most perfect puzzle possible? It's never perfect, but how do we get to the closest to perfect as possible? And it's a big task, especially with a team of people.
I think the thing is the medium road, folks. They were looking at Salesforce, and Salesforce has a specific platform aimed at nonprofits. But when they found out how much it would to hire consultancy and, you know, work out if they could ditch this purpose-made system which dealt with their subscriptions, they backed off for understandable reasons, because they got really price fright. So they're still using, they've got a really, which we maintain, really fantastic looking WordPress website. But they've got a iffy backend system, which has been improved, but doesn't supply the reporting and the kind of digital platform that will enable them to move forward. And I'm bringing this up because I think there's a lot of nonprofits, a lot of associations in that situation. What do you reckon?
Yeah. There's a ton of people that are locked. They feel like they're locked in, or they feel like they can't make a decision. And I think that their finances get way upside down by the time they start looking at how they spread themselves out.
So I think there's a middle road, folks. I think be wary. I'm just basing this on my experience. Be wary of all embracing solutions unless you can hire an expert and you've got a relationship and you really understand the limitations and the benefits, because it might be all embracing, but if you ever need to leave it, that's going to be difficult. The other route is the Frankenstein route, where you just got this bitty hitch hop. I'm struggling for the term, hopefully, where it's all kind of separate bits that's just been bolted together over the years. And I think you touched on that. I think that's problematic as well. I think the middle road is not to rely on a total all-embracing solution, but minimize the amount of separate different software programs that you're using to a more common sense level. Before we go to our break, how would you respond to that, Kurt?
I'm kind of in the same ballpark, Jonathan. It's I just feel sorry for these folks that get spread out, get lost on the mission. They get so tied up in the different tools and how everything's split up and watered down that they become ineffective. And the goal is to stay effective, interact with your membership, and drive and retain giving. And unfortunately, technology was supposed to make things easier for us. And as we've seen over the last few decades, it's continually gotten more confusing. So the more that we can direct people in a clear path, I think the happier they're going
to
be.
And then this doesn't apply just to nonprofits and association folks. These scenarios apply to private industry, you know, especially the larger ones in the IT industry. It's notorious for medium to large changes of CRM not go well, actually don't function correctly. I've known people that have been consulting and brought in at the last minute, and they have had to ditch whole systems because they just didn't work as prescribed, you know, which is disastrous and very expensive. So I'm not just choosing to point this out just for non-profits and associations. We have had a good first half. I think both me and Kirk are giving you some insights and things to think about. When we come back in the second half, we will be talking about some of the solutions out there. Should be a great second half show. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. Before we go into the second half, I want to point out we've got some great special offers from the sponsors of the show. They are much appreciated. Kinster, Rollback, and Lifter LMS. You get some great special offers from them, plus a curated list of the best WordPress technology and services. It's a great resource. You can get this free resources by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. Plus, you get a special offer on a course that Kirk does that shows you how to build a WordPress membership website from beginning to end using the best and most modern WordPress technology. And you get that at a discount as well. What more could you ask for? So let's delve in. So I kind of see there's kind of three buckets here, Kurt. There's CRM specifically designed for nonprofits, right? Then there's offerings that are not specifically designed. Their history wasn't specifically designed for nonprofits, but they add functionality by add-ons or additional software or a differential offering to nonprofits. And then you've got WordPress that doesn't offer CRM up to some of the specifics and SaaS. It's more marketing. There are some CRMs. We're probably going to talk about, I didn't add it to the list I gave to you, Kurt, but we're probably going to discuss Fluent CRM, but that's a marketing, but you could adapt it, I think. But WordPress does have a solution that means you don't have to use custom coding, and that's WP Fusion. So, but we're going to start off with a non-specialized but a very popular solution. We're going to start with HubSpot for nonprofits. It does offer some benefits because there's like WP Fusion, and there's a lot of software out there in the WordPress space. If you're running, that will integrate with HubSpot quite effectively. So what's your thoughts about HubSpot in general?
I've tried HubSpot a couple of times, and I've done some integrations for clients with HubSpot. I have found a small percentage of people that use HubSpot that grow to love it over time, but it's a small percentage. I find a lot of people get into it and then never really figure out how to optimize it and bail. It's one of those that's deceivingly simple looking in its interface, but not simple in its use. And I think that that with its learning curve and its very strange marketing, I think it scares a lot of people off because it's advertised as the free forever, you know, CRM, but you and I both know that it can become a very expensive tool once you scale.
Well, it depends on how you classify it's expensive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Compared to one of these solutions that we're going to be discussing on this list. But they do offer a free plan that's not crippled, but it does have, there's definitely functionality that's not offered in the free. It's not as crippled as something like Zolo CRM, because that has got elements in its free program that should not have been crippled. So I'm going to be switching from Zolo CRM to HubSpot, but I'm going to use it for customer records and that in the new year, because I've been laggard about it, because I've just been concentrating on building the business up. And that's had consequences. But yeah, because the professional, the one up from the free folks starts at 800, and then you got enterprise that starts at 3,600 a month. On these plans, you do get a 40% discount if you're a non-profit, and you can prove that you're a non-profit. I think what you said about it was quite insightful. When you start out with it, it does seem reasonably easy, but it gets complicated quite quick. But compared to some of the systems I've used, they had a reputation for their sales department really being high pressured about signing people up in multiple year contracts, which I didn't like. But it's a good platform, and it does offer a lot of integration paths with WordPress, right?
Yeah.
Especially with WP Fusion. Next one, Neon CRM.
Neon CRM.
Yeah. Do you know anything about this at all?
Well, I started to dive in a little bit more about, you know, kind of like what it did. Because I wasn't familiar with it. And it does a lot of things. Like earlier in the show, you were like, be wary of these all-in-one platforms. And it has a lot of stuff going on. It does blogging. It does research reports. It does a website assessment. It has a membership hub, which I think is why we really focused on it.
But there's over 20 of these systems aimed at nonprofits. It's like learning management systems. There must be over 20 to 30 quasar corporate learning management systems out there. We couldn't even cover. I've just chosen the ones that came up on my radar, and also got some history with them. And it did come. And then I did a dive on it about how it integrates, and I found blog posts. One blog post says the sales team said, yeah, it's got fantastic integration with WordPress. It doesn't. Its plugin hasn't been updated for a long time. It starts at $99 a month. The next one goes up to $209. And the final one, until you have to have enterprise, is empowered at $400 a month. So the prices are cheaper. But I would be a bit wary of it, especially if you've got a WordPress website, if you want it to integrate with it.
Well, and like we were talking earlier, and bear with me on this one. I saw that it had a membership hub and it had a fundraising event planner and had those kinds of things. But when I was looking at the list of integrations, it started listing all the other CRMs. It started listing, you know, the MailChimp, the Constant Contact, the all of those. And so then I started looking, and I don't really see that the tool is a CRM. It looks like it does everything for a nonprofit except a CRM.
Well, this is the tricky thing. It really depends on what you think of CRM. It's like the term managed hosting, Kurt. It's been abused and generalized. I'm not sure if that word exists. It should do, shouldn't it? Generalized? I think it does.
Generalized. I think that's a word.
But I'm using it. It's been like managed WordPress hosting. It's been abused and generalized so much And I think the same thing applies to CRM, is that the term is so generalized now that it's lost its meaning.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, to me, it's like the difference. Like, people might think that Lifter LMS is a CRM because it has membership tools and it stores all the students' data and all that stuff. But realistically, you know, you need a CRM in addition to Lifter LMS to run a really learning platform.
You need the digital marketing side.
Yeah.
Where it's actual reporting and functionality around membership is pretty strong for the WordPress space. But like what you've just pointed out with this SaaS, Neon CRM, that was what I laughed at it because... And also, I read these blog posts of previous people that tried to integrate it with WordPress, and they didn't have a fantastic experience. Be very wary of folks that won't charge for a deep discovery when they're dealing with something like this, because they will bail out on you if it gets too difficult, where they find that it's not easy integration. They will just disappear, folks, because they will start losing money quite rapidly. And they will just bail on you. I've had to take over jobs where the organizations have hired somebody that knew somebody in the organization, and they thought it was going to be easy to integrate something like Neo CRM with their WordPress website, and it didn't work out. Right? And they were gone. They were ghosted. Right? On to the next one, a totally different beast, and that's Salesforce. And now Salesforce, they had a pack which was called MPSP, and they're still updating that pack. It would offer functionality that was specifically targeted at a nonprofit. About a year ago, they're still offering it, but they're offering a different solution called their cloud, their nonprofit cloud. And it's a totally different way of doing it. It's a lot better, but it's going to cost money to bring in somebody and change. It's a completely different way of doing it. So it's a migration, and we all know what migration means. Now, that's why I said about HubSpot, and you said it was compare. You know, my experience in being a consultant around this, you've got to be a certain size of enterprise or nonprofit or association to make it worthwhile to go to Salesforce. What's your own thoughts about this, Kurt?
People that I know that are on Salesforce, the biggest comment that I usually see from them is that it's overkill or it's micromanagement, especially for people on sales teams. But when you're looking at it from a sales tool and a sales like production or distribution, you know, enterprise thing, if you're in management, you do want a little bit of micromanagement on sales to see what's going on. I think nonprofits are a little bit different. The pricing did confuse me, Jonathan, because it said, you know, like the nonprofit Cloud Unlimited said $100 per user per month. And then I was like, well, how do we define a user?
Somebody that's you. Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not cheap.
You know, if I've got three or four people on my team or on my board, am I paying access for each of those people? Or it just seemed a little convoluted to me. But I think
you do get a discount. They do offer a discount like HubSpot if you're a nonprofit.
Yeah, yeah. And you get your first 10 subscribers for free. I saw that part. So at least you could try it out, you know, and see if you actually really liked it before you paid for it.
A lot of nonprofits that do have a consultant. They do have somebody that they have volunteers under the control of a consultant. Most of them can't afford to have somebody in house that has admin certification to be able to run it, basically. But if you're a certain organization at a certain level, it's probably worth investigating. Then we've got something specifically. Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, before we bail off of Salesforce, they do have a feature I didn't see the other ones have. And that was, it has some kind of grant making tool in it. Yeah. So if you're a, you know, a mid-sized nonprofit that's really focused on, you know, grants and government giving and stuff like that, it's that this might be a tool worth looking at from that perspective.
That's, thank you so much. That's the other side that some of these offer, because a lot of these organizations, they're constantly putting in grants because it's a lifeblood to a lot of organizations. On to one that's like Neo CRM, Bloomerang.
Bloomerang.
Like the name, Aussies. Very lower price level, fundraising 40, Bloomerang CRM 125, volunteer 119. I haven't used it, but when I was doing my research for this show, folks, it was coming up quite a lot. There are a lot of these platforms out there, folks, but it was one that was coming up quite a bit. What do you think of this one?
Well, I think one of the things that's going to make it rise to the top when people are doing the search is it's got the availability of a mobile application. And a lot of people in this space seem to focus on, can I have an app? Can I have an app? Can I have an app? They have no idea how they're going to leverage the app or how, what value it's going to bring to the organization. But it's like a little bit of, it's what do we call that? That's like mind control. You know, it's like people believe, oh, I have to have an app. And Bloomerang has a mobile app available. I also noticed it has a lot of the same tools like the Neon one that you had, that you did mention that you likened it to. Like when you take a look at the platform, it's, you know, donation forms, reporting, event management. It does do some SMS and texting for fundraising attempts. So that's kind of cool. It seems like it's interesting and it's cheap enough that you could try it and not lose the house.
No, it's not going to be all in its, like we said in the first half, folks. It's such a broad title, CRM. It's more kind of marketing orientated and fundraising. And it's got the app. And the app situation is very similar to communities. There's certain SaaS that offer app. And it's just overblown in a way because a fully responsive website. Are your subscribers really going to download the app and put it on their phone? Probably not. They're just not going to do it. So be wary of being sucked in there. I did some basic research. I don't think integrating it, I don't know how open their API is. I didn't have enough time to do the research on that. It just depends on, I don't think something like WP Fusion offers anything integration with it. There might be some tools like...
It interacts with Zapier.
Yeah. And there's some WordPress-focused tools that offer scripts that will integrate using webhooks. So have a look at it, but yeah. Finally, ClickUp. ClickUp is an all-embracing CRM. Very popular out there. They do offer add-on that's aimed at nonprofits. They also charge per user, so you've got to find out what they call a user. It is very popular, but it's also. I was surprised. WP Fusion doesn't offer any integration with ClickUp, so that's out. I don't know if there's third-party plugins, Zapier, or the WordPress equivalent out there that uses webhook technology. But really, the only one I know that works, that's on this list that WP Fusion really works with, is HubSpot. So what's your thoughts about ClickUp?
Well, ClickUp's picking up a lot of steam in our own circles, Jonathan. But most people that I know that use ClickUp, They come at it from like small business management, project management perspective. ClickUp is known for a lot of project managers. We'll use that to organize a project, you know, Gantt charts, timing, all that kind of stuff, track your milestones. So it's a really great tool for that. I think using it in the mindset that we were talking about nonprofits earlier in this episode, I think it's a little bit of a stretch for the use case. I think you could put goals in, you could put, you know, milestones in, you could assign certain things to certain people, but then it becomes more like project management than say, a CRM based kind of tool. The feedback that I've had on ClickUp has been phenomenal. Like the people that use it seem to really like it. They like its flexibility. There's some advanced tools in there. It does a lot with like documentation and whiteboards. And
well, it came up against Notion, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Notion, there's people in the WordPress community just love Notion.
Yeah.
But I was never enthralled. I was never enthralled with it. And a lot of people then looked at ClickUp. But it's a totally different history, a different beast in a way, isn't it?
Yeah. And it can do, like, you can create dashboards in it and do analytics and look at your goals and things like that. But when I look at leveraging that type of platform for like managing members and giving members the ability to interact and communicate with the board or the team, it doesn't seem to fit that use case as well as some other things we've already talked about.
Right. Now, finally, we're going to look at WordPress. And on my research, something came up straight away, and that's MemberPress. They have an add-on aimed or supposedly a solution for nonprofits. I'm not a fan of MemberPress, not because of the founder and the team there. It's the parent company. And I know that people, if you go down the MemberPress route, it becomes rather complicated to get out of it. I treat it as a kind of WordPress semi-walled garden scenario, that if you're going down, you're going to be stuck with it, or you're going to have to cut it totally out. I don't know if you know about their nonprofit solution and what they're offering. What's your own views?
MemberPress was one of the things that, because of my interaction with Lifter, I kind of steered away from, because I had to fix a lot of sites where people had used MemberPress to start a membership site and then tried to add the LMS and then confused themselves. So for me, having to unwind those projects or unwind those things just kind of gave me a different connotation. However, I had a friend that went to work for MemberPress and came away saying that, you know, he really thought the product was well made and well represented and hit a lot, you know, ticked a lot of boxes on the list. So I don't want my personal experience to interfere with it, because I was seeing it from a different perspective. I'm going to switch the channel on this one. I've used Paid Memberships Pro similarly for other clients, and I've been really happy with Paid Memberships Pro.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Because really MemberPress really got popular because it worked with LearnDash, and with LearnDash you really needed a membership plugin.
Yeah.
The way it handles membership is a little bit strange. It's effective. It's a well-coded platform, and it does have, they pushed it towards coaches and nonprofits and certain verticals. Then you got something like I've got Lifter, but it's dealing with membership, isn't it? And then I've also got Fluent Community, and then from Fluent I've got their Paymatic, which is their donation solution. And then I've got GiveWP, and then I added, which I didn't share with you because I added it at the last minute, WP Fusion and Fluent. But it's a hodgepodge. But there's nothing wrong with a hodgepodge, is there? But I think that's it's difficult. I don't know what to save me, Kurt. How would you kind of wrap this up?
That's the whole thing, right? So when we get into WordPress, our job, unfortunately, is to try and verbalize to regular people out there away from this, like, why is this a good choice? And so, like I already mentioned, paid memberships pro. So let's say that you're not going to have any courses at all, right? So you're like, well, I really don't need the LMS. So I think Lifter LMS has phenomenal membership management tools. I have projects where I have used Lifter LMS with no courses whatsoever, just to use the membership tools, like because there's membership restriction tools that are in place. You can sell memberships, you can track your orders, which means you're tracking your giving, your subscriptions, all those things. So I think Lifter works really great in that space. But let's say I don't want to go that route because I don't have any courses. Paid Memberships Pro is a great example of a really solid membership platform with a lot of really key add-ons. So if there's things that your organization needs to do very specifically, there's add-ons that usually fit the measure for you. But to your point, Jonathan, we were talking earlier about, you know, CRMs and segmentation and tags and real marketing messaging and things like that. And with the WP Tonic hosting, you know, we could put in Fluent CRM Pro, we could put in Fluent Form. You know, you have access to Lifter LMS with those membership tools, if you like. I mean, we could build a really formidable nonprofit tool in that space and give people the freedom of design, the freedom of ownership, and the flexibility to scale as their project scales. Like we mentioned community. So, okay, earlier I said, if you don't have the interactivity or the numbers or the audience to run community effectively yet, well, then don't. Like, you don't even have to worry about it. But when you're ready, You could always scale.
I think you put that well, because what you're really saying, which I wasn't explaining, is modularization. And it's a big strength, because it is a big jump to move to HubSpot, especially if you're going to start using the paid version. It's a big jump to Salesforce. You've got to be a pretty certain size organization to look at it. And then you start looking at all embracing solutions at a lower price level. And they are attractive, folks. Like, I haven't used Boomerang, but Kurt pointed out they're pushing the app. They're pushing the digital side. But is the subscription and the reporting and that up to snuff? I find with these all embracing CRMs, they're strong in one or two areas, but they're very weak in the third, fourth area.
Yeah.
That's what, based on my experience, and you invested a lot of money into them and they're weak. They're weak in one or two areas and you're stuck with them.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and then just thinking out loud, Jonathan, like in the platforms that we consistently build with the Fluent CRM setup that we use, we have automation features in that where if someone buys us, because we talked about tiers. So if someone buys, you know, an enterprise membership, they get, you know, put into this segmentation and this automation. If someone buys, you know, the individual giving plan, they get put into this segmentation and this automation. And those automations can do all kinds of things. They can add you to extra memberships. They could give you, you know, a free mini course. They could send you a separate list of, you know, coupons or engagements. Events, they could register you for events.
Yeah, the Fluent CRM will give you some nice reporting functionality. It's the equivalent, as good as ActiveCampaign, where it's not providing the insight reporting that we're looking for around subscriptions, Jonathan. And to be quite truthful, I know in my heart that the management of these organizations are stressed out as it is. The idea that they're going to spend a lot of time. But the only thing that's going to change all this is you've got AI and how WordPress and these systems using AI agents will be able to gather information and then produce custom reports to your heart's content. That's all coming up in the next year, 18 months, and it's going to change the whole scenario quite dramatically. I think we end it now. So hopefully we're giving you some good, clear insights and giving you some info. We love some feedback from you folks. If you go to the WP Tonic YouTube channel, this actual show will be on there. And subscribe to the channel and give us some feedback about subjects you'd like us to cover in the new year. We love your feedback. Also think about subscribing. If you're using Spotify or iTunes, can you leave us a review? It's the best way that it shows us to new people and it grows the podcast. That would be much appreciated by me and Kirk. So, Kirk, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Personal stuff is LinkedIn. Just make the connection on LinkedIn. I'm the only Kurt Von Onen there. If you find me, I'm it.
And like I say, we will be back next week with another show helping you build membership, community, marketing, anything to help you have a successful business, or if you're a large organization, make the right choices. We will be back next week. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.